Blog Talk Radio.
The NAWC, for over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
And is it a win? We'll ask the referee, is it a win? I don't think it is for Santino.
No.
Poor Santino. I don't know whether he can even try again. I can't even see the referee. He's behind the show. It's all off. It's over.
Not a win for Santino.
Is he the winner? No, he's it's all there. He is the winner.
Yeah.
Santino, I had a hunch this might not go very far.
Ladies and gentlemen, come on down to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and welcome to the new year. I have a few of the usual suspects here. First of all, not too far from my central location, Columbus, Ohio, Mr. DJ Tekken.
Actually, tonight I am coming to you from the home of the future 2011 AFC champions, and I'm not saying New York.
Oh, my. Then to my west, I have our new member, Mr. Kenny, Andy Storm.
I left. Wait, are you talking your left or my left? Because those are two completely different things here, Nikki.
I said to my west.
Okay. I'm coming from the home of the Colts, Indianapolis. It's kind of why I was groaning at the New England reference there. But I think we could push the football aside, and we can probably get along tonight at least for a little bit.
After all, this is a wrestling show, and I do penalize for football talk. But
I will remember that.
We're not through the introduction, so I will skip over to my number four and point Mr. Ford.
Yeah, after this Sunday, I'm not even sure who to root for.
Regardless, all of us, I think, are going to be on very comfy couches this weekend. I, along with, at least I know DJ, is also snowed in.
Yes.
So, best thing to do would be curl up and watch a little bit of football. But
yep. That's
tomorrow. That is tomorrow. Tonight, we talk wrestling. With the Royal Rumble right around the corner, a announcement that was originally broken by Joey Styles on Monday afternoon, but formally announced on Raw that night, this year's Royal Rumble has been expanded to 40 individuals. Now, Andy, do you think that's too much?
Actually, no. I think that's going to create a great main event. It's going to hopefully open up the universe's eyes to some of these, I would say, lesser-known stars, or give the mid-carders, low-carders some kind of hopeful push, kind of jump them into the limelight. Guys like Zack Ryder, maybe Yoshitatsu if he's in, guys, that could keep developing, keep getting better, and will hopefully, move up in the cards soon.
All right. I did a head count, and the current WWE roster, now mind you, this counts people who are injured, some of the managers, some of the Teddy Long's on the list, and a few other special guests. Basically, both brands. This also doesn't count as P, which they could have a couple of these. I'm not even sure where I was going with that. What do you think?
I'm sorry, Nikki, I couldn't hear you. There's some background noise. Mine somewhere.
Well, I'm thinking about making the joke for people. And put that includes managers and general managers and people that are still out on injured reserve. So does that leave the door open, as Andy said, for some of the lower card talent with Zack Ryder, to Yoshitatsu, to JTG, maybe even an NXT Season 4 guy?
Well, I would be hopeful that they'd use some of the lower card to mid card guys, because Jim Ross made a good point on his Twitter page and on his blog that it means a pay-per-view payday for some of these guys who, for the most part, haven't seen a pay-per-view all year or even haven't seen a pay-per-view in their WWE tenure. I don't know if a lot of those guys are going to get actually into the 40-man. I'm thinking they're going to save room for guys like Jerry Lawler will probably be a surprise entrant. Triple H, I think, will come back in the Rumble. You might see some crazy names like a Snuka or a Piper or somebody, legends that they bring back for it. I guess you could always count the Nexus as one entry. You can count maybe the core as one entry. I'm sorry if I stole anything. There are creative ways to kind of get more than 40, actually 40 in, and still say 40. But I like the surprise entrance, but I would be hopeful that at least they'd allow some of the guys like Andy mentioned, Zack Ryder and Yoshitatsu, to showcase their skills, because I think that they're uniquely talented, and you know they would contribute to the Rumble in a big way.
Now, go ahead for it.
I was going to say, I think it will provide a nice mix of the special entrants, the legends, and the undercard guys, the lower card guys. So it at least can give more room for the legends, as well as giving some of those undercard guys a chance to shine.
Just as long as it's not Drew Carey, I'll be okay.
Yeah.
No. They're in Boston. If they were going to do something, they would go get, what's his name? The bartender from Cheers.
Ted Danson?
Yeah, him. But that's silly. Although, speaking of surprise entrants, I don't think Triple H is really going to be that big of a surprise. He's done interviews for both WWE magazines, including a statement in WWE Kids, yes, I just put it here and there, that he is looking forward to getting back in the ring, and he has already made feud in the fact that Sheamus was the one who literally kicked him out of bed. That doesn't mean he's going to win, but any early predictions for who might take it this week?
Honestly, I actually have no idea. This is one year where I really cannot think of who conceivably could do it. Because Cena's locked into something right now, and Orton is not in the Rumble, Ziggler's not in the Rumble, so I actually don't have any idea who would win.
DJ, any front runners for you?
Well, I don't know what their plans are going forward. Usually, you kind of have a semblance, some kind of idea who, leading up to the Royal Rumble, that they want to showcase Rey Mysterio, Chris Benoit. You have some kind of a semblance. They haven't tipped us off at all. If I had to pick one person that I would like to see and the matches that I would like to see, is to have Alberto Del Rio win it and have him face off with Edge for the World Heavyweight title as a SmackDown title match at Mania. I think that would be tremendous. But I just don't know. Mm. I know he's supposed to be a big deal fairly quickly, but I don't know if it's that quickly.
Andy, you got any guesses?
Honestly, it's anybody's Rumble, really, if you think about it. You know, honestly, you'd think the big guys like, maybe Kane or Big Show, you know, have obviously the bigger chance because they're harder to get over the ropes. But honestly, it's anybody's game right now, really. We could see somebody from the core or somebody from Nexus. We could end up seeing a finale of CM Punk and Wade Barrett. You know, it can be anything, really. It's all up to chance. It's the Royal Rumble. You never know what's going to happen.
I've got a couple of people I wouldn't mind putting my hat in. It's, you made a point with Kane in the show, which has won the Rumble, and use that to get a little bit of momentum back. John Morrison had a video package on Raw on Monday, which gives me a little bit of hope for the ambassador of abdominals. So, we'll discuss that a little more in depth with Pete Go. Our last show directly to the part of North America next week. But I did get a little something from our new sponsor, and I will need to play that right now.
I am Robert Stoblin saying the Westboro Baptist Church can go fuck themselves. Good night.
Oh, win.
And I just lost the damn soundboard.
Oh!
Ooh! By the way,
Blackhawks, you suck!
That happened to me on Tuesday, too.
Is Westworld the one that's protesting the sign in the government building? Westboro Baptist Church protest was picketing the Amish schoolgirl's funeral. No, I thought you said Westboro. Oh, those guys. Oh. Those are the ones who said God hates fags. Those guys?
Yep.
Oh, joy. Yeah, well, they put it to you this way. They are the ones who also protested at the military funeral that said,
I
is God's will. So... As the son of an Air Force staff, retired Air Force staff sergeant, they can go fuck themselves.
Same night, same time, original account. On Friday, February 4th, the North American Wrestling Connection returns to its original Blog Talk Radio account. For information, please stay tuned to this episode in the next couple of weeks. The North American Wrestling Connection, the worldwide leader in wrestling discussion for 50 months and counting.
So, for a minute, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, for a minute, I didn't know what happened. I thought Blog Talk was going nuts because that was like quite a long one. But I don't know.
To sum it up, Carl has done us a favor, and we'll be starting on a new channel on February 4th. We will not be going away. So... Carl, if you happen to be listening, this one's for you. The new channel, CLW83, is going to be picking this up starting February 4th. I will have more details with the two-hour show next week, but I had to get that in. Let's see. But getting back to Raw... I understand that Russell Crowe kind of was shocked at first at what they thought was Batista running through the crowd and kneeling before Punk Jesus. But this man, as Cole liked to call him, since he couldn't take a minute and ask the anonymous general manager to call up the FCW website and tell him that this is soon-to-be former Florida Championship Wrestling champion Mason Ryan, jokingly called the Welsh Batista, has been added to the ranks of Punk's Nexus. So this has led to tons of speculation that there's more brewing between Nexus and Barrett's new faction built on SmackDown. I'm going to throw this out there, guys. Do you think that the war between the two factions, or is this a wonderfully clever ruse that these two groups put in hiding just over the WWE? It could be a bigger picture.
So, somehow I get the feeling that maybe they feel like Cena has to get the ultimate win and disband the group, but maybe that they felt like there was something more in Barrett and to a lesser extent Slater and Gabriel to move them away from that so that it doesn't have any impact on them.
That's possible. I just, you know, like I said, even though everything seems to match up a bit with Barrett and Punk, Jackson and Ryan. And then we have Husky and Joe. I'm not allowed to call him the Gilletti on this. And we're shuffling around in the background. Really good. Let's see.
Well, if I may interject, Nikki, before I answer your question, I watched Raw on tape delay, I didn't say tape delay, but DVR Monday, and I was going through my Twitter feed before I watched the show, and I follow a national hockey writer who, for better or worse, hasn't been a watched wrestling regularly over the last few years, and he tweeted something to the effect of, the love child of Batista and Steve Blackman just debuted, shit got real interesting. I enjoyed that thoroughly. But in response to your question, WWE hasn't done faction wars real well. Think of WrestleMania 23, ECW Originals versus the New Breed. That was kind of a cluster, you know what. I really like the core faction that's been built up on SmackDown. I'm really digging Punk's version of the New Nexus. But I just can't help but see if they go and have those two factions face off, maybe culminating at WrestleMania. I can't help but think that the WWE creative would screw it up and somehow make them both look worse coming out of WrestleMania instead of having a WrestleMania bounce, kind of having a WrestleMania swoon after the fact. Something that I thought maybe was interesting is having the anonymous general manager putting Cena, and I don't know if they would do this at WrestleMania because I think the money match is either Cena versus Miz or Cena versus Punk. Maybe to do Cena and a mystery partner of his choosing versus Punk and Welsh Batista, and maybe having that mystery partner come back at WrestleMania and be Batista. But you don't sell mystery partners on WrestleMania. You have to have established matches, and you probably make more money off of Cena doing a one-on-one match with somebody. So, but that's just an interesting thought, I would think.
Andy, my apologies. I did not mean to disconnect you. I was actually trying to mute you to see if all the shuffling around was coming from your phone. So I apologize.
It's all right. I'm making my second entrance, much like Mick Foley did when he came into the Royal Rumble three times.
good point.
I got to hang up on you at the 2-minute mark. Okay. So noted. we're talking about the nationwide. Called up as the Welsh Batista, and I just lost the chat room. Sorry, guys. I am so disorganized tonight. I apologize. We're talking about, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with the band's SmackDown core. DJ had a neat scenario about actually bringing Batista back, which he hasn't. I don't think he's knocked on WWE's door yet. I've had a couple of sources tell me that Batista might come back to the Fed at some point, but he doesn't have much of a shelf life left. And WWE's new policy about trying to grab guys before they turn 30, Logan's Run. I don't know if they'd even welcome him back.
I don't know if the fans would want him back. The way he left made him seem like, you know, a crying baby sitting in a wheelchair, just, you know, crying and yelling the whole time. I'm not sure if the fans that will remember that, at least, are going to want him back because of that kind of, you know, just the way he left is going to make it seem like he's just, you know, is he going to do it again? Is he going to cry and cop out again or what? You know, I'm not sure if the fans would want him back. If the WWE does or not, it's up to them.
Right.
One thing is that the time heals all wounds, though. In the time away, WWE fans have a short memory. If you show up and you're the baby face and you're marketed as the baby face, they'll pop for you. And you know, Vince reportedly was banking on Lesnar. That's looking less and less likely by the hour, by the day. You know, you don't have Shawn Michaels, you don't have Chris Jericho. So there's not the star power that there's been in years past. There hasn't been that main attraction. You know, maybe a mystery tag team partner, or even if he's not a mystery, just some, you know, if he's paired with Cena a couple weeks beforehand, I think that that would sell a lot of pay-per-views in the weeks up to the show. If you have those two who were foes when Batista left the company and teaming up and kind of being buddy-buddy again, might work. I don't know. Just a thought, though.
Okay, that's a silly suggestion from the chat room, making a WrestleMania tag team main event of Cena and Darren Young versus Mason Ryan and Batista. Who's on board?
I'm down for that. That would be a very interesting tag team match.
They'd have to wear name tags because people wouldn't be able to tell them apart.
Could we maybe get simultaneous attitude adjustments or Batista bombs from the two teams?
I'd pay for that. What's that for?
I was going to say, what would Young wear as gear? Would he be wearing like the denim shorts, or would he be wearing his usual gear?
Oh, they'd get him to wear the denim shorts and make him cut his hair. Just to confuse everybody.
Too bad Vince Russo wasn't booking, because on one end you can have Cena's merchandise on a pole on one end, and on the other end you can have a box of Photoshop. And the first, they could face off against each other, and then once they pull their respective items down, you could have fake Batista versus real Cena versus real Batista. Yeah, I mean, geez, Verusso, the possibility is endless.
Well, it depends. Do we have any of the WrestleCraft hierarchy going to Mania this year? Do we know this? We might still be able to squeak it in. Let's see. I think we better stop it before this way back in. Let's see. Speaking of Mania, the reason we had Mr. Barker in our intro tonight, thank you again, Jim Williams, for these awesome intros. Bob Barker has been invited to attend and has accepted attending WrestleMania 27. I've joked that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer for their celebrity wing. Anybody with me on this one?
I'd go for that. I'd vote for him.
I think so. I think he, out of all the celebrity hosts, was definitely the one host that no one can really say anything that bad about in terms of how his appearance, like, no one can say any bad about it. You know, some could say some about Seth Green, maybe, but no one can say anything about Bob Barker.
Yeah, he's a classy guy. He's brought a lot of dignity to the show. He seemed to be having a lot of fun in his old age. He's still very, very entertaining. And like you said, Forth, you can't have a lot to say that's bad about him. So I welcome it. You know, he's not probably going to do a lot at Mania, but what he will do, he'll certainly add to the show.
Yes?
I look forward. I really do, because I really did enjoy Price is Raw. And I know that we have a lot of games. We also have game show geeks that work on this show, like Jim Williams and Jason Block and our former host, Robert Q. Seidelman, were all just having a great night of double geek while this was going on. So,
and
he's
an A-list guy, too. He's not a B-list celebrity. Usually they'll bring in three or four B-list or C-list or D-list celebrities to WrestleMania, but Bob Barker has name value, and he's had a good working relationship with the WWE, so I welcome it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of their other shows, they are starting to gear up for Tough Enough starting after WrestleMania. They've merely made the announcement, but there's been some speculation, and WWE has spoken up at least this much. They are not going after any of the former trainers, so no sign of Hardcore Holly or Al Snow. Although I think Al's still employed with TNA. I know he was kind of a fringe member of EE 2.0, so he might still be down there. Do we have any TNA viewers working at my round table tonight?
I don't know. Not that I've heard of.
I'm pretty sure that he's still an agent. I think last I heard it was Al Snow, Pat Kenny, and D'Lo Brown.
Okay.
I know D'Lo's one of the head talent scouts or something like that.
Right. So Al was already pretty much crossed off the list, and Hardcore Holly, well, that's just a bad plan. He would just kill these guys.
Yeah.
And all he's doing. Go ahead.
Has anybody even heard from Hardcore Holly and how long?
I mean, the only thing we've heard from the shoot interview, and even that was over a year ago, wasn't it?
Actually, I know where Hardcore Holly is. He's actually staked out in the bushes outside of Mr. Kennedy's residence right now.
What did they say that?
Commando style.
I believe. Sadly, I can see this. I certainly can see this. Let's see. Quick peek over at P&A since nobody here has watched it. The only news, I only have two bits of news out of there. First one's kind of minor. There was some consideration of bringing in Shane Helms to TNA, or at least there was a lot of speculation. TNA said that they said no, mainly because Velvet Sky said, you sign him and I walk.
Good for her, because it's bad for business to hire Shane Helms right now. Especially because he's a little bit of a lightning rod or a pariah in professional wrestling circles because of his rants and his attacks on HBK. You know, if you talk shit on HBK, you're not going to make a lot of friends in this industry, at least publicly, if you talk shit. And, you know, they already have too much of the Omega crew. Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, Shannon Moore, they've really done nothing for TNA. These are guys that are still in their early to mid-30s, and they're in worse shape, and they're less entertaining to me than guys like Sting and Angle and Nash, for this for TNA, who are guys that are well into their 40s and they're running circles around the Omega crew. So no, thank you. Good for Velvet Sky.
Yeah, and good for TNA. I'm worried about their investment in that, and I really thought their investment in Jeff was finally going to blow up in their faces this past Thursday, but it turns out that they still don't work together when it comes to this plea deal. Another continuance in the Jeff Hardy case.
They just need to get that case. They just need to go to court, do whatever they're going to do with them, put them in jail, you know, give them – do whatever with them and just get it over with. It's causing a huge problem. This is just causing a huge problem for, you know, any kind of wrestling fan, be it TNA, you know, WWE fans probably don't even care. But it's one of those where, you know, it's a hassle, and it's actually just showing how bad the American legal system really is.
Yeah, one of the things that I was hearing... go ahead, Nikki, I'm sorry.
No. All I was going to say was just the fact that I'm wondering if the trafficking charge is the big sticking point, because in the Carolinas, I understand that there is a mandatory sentence that goes with the trafficking charge. If he can't get it dropped, he's screwed. If that's his...
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with North Carolina law, but what I heard is that the reason that this hearing was postponed, it was continued again, was because... The two sides weren't as far along in the plea deal arrangement as they thought they were, and it just, you know, couldn't go before a judge at that point because they weren't far along enough really to hammer things out. So,
well, they've got another 3.5 weeks to try to get this straightened out. They're meeting again on February the 16th. Hopefully, we will finally get this settled, because... No offense, I really think that Jeff needs to go dry out the pokey for a few months.
Might do him some good.
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it would do him some good, but it could also maybe open up the TNA storyline and get rid of the Immortal faction, which I personally think is just Immortal and whatever the other faction was. I mean, there's just too many big factions that are too close to each other that, like, it makes no sense to me, honestly.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Andy, because I do have some news, maybe with the Z, that I don't know. Are we able to talk about potential rumors and spoilers, Nikki?
It depends on what you got. Let's hear it.
Well, apparently they're building up this February 3rd show is a big deal. And you have Crimson talking about the new – Crimson, by the way, is the name for Amazing Red's little brother, If you haven't been following TNA, he's been kind of the abyss of this New Day group, the messenger saying they are coming. Apparently the plan is for they to be a main event Mafia reunion with Sting, Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, and Bobby Lashley making his return to TNA Wrestling. And I guess that this is all apparently possibly planned for that February 3rd show where Hogan supposedly is going to be in the house, maybe Dixie Carter. So that's what I've been hearing from various dirt sheets, but a few of them are pretty reputable. So, because Kevin Nash has been denying on his Twitter feed that he was going back to TNA for months and months, and now all of a sudden he's negotiating a contract, but he's saying, I'm not going to return at the earliest until August because I'm shooting a movie. Well, I think he's trying to push the timeline back so that way people will be surprised when he shows up in a few weeks.
I'm going to call that a news with a Z until it happens because, will that get us watching TNA again?
Whoa!
Not yet.
Do we love Bobby?
No.
No!
You were wrong. 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 You were definitely wrong.
The price is wrong, bitch.
I promise I'll stop playing with the board.
Thank you, Nikki.
You're very welcome. Let's see. Where was I? Somewhere in this mess. Oh, yes. I haven't been following NXT, but I understand that the rat's been kicked out of the trap. I mean, Conor O'Brien was the recent elimination. And did I see or read this correctly that it was because of Ricardo Rodriguez? Any of you guys watching NXT? I need to start watching.
I haven't.
Negative. Okay.
I was just curious because I was at the debut of season 4, and Conor O'Brien was probably, was the all character guy, and I was really intrigued to see where he's going. Daniel Bryan's pro Bateman, pictures and some videos that have bounced out have just had me in stitches. I'm looking forward to seeing him when and if they ever bring him up to the roster. So,
see, Nikki, I disagree with you. I don't like Bateman for one reason. They could have Colt Cabana on the roster doing what Bateman does, but doing it way, way better.
I'll agree with you there. I think Cabana would do it much better. But I have it on good authority that I don't even think Cabana would take a WWE deal if they asked him to come back. So I don't know if we'll ever see Colt on TV again. But as was said earlier in the show, time heals all wounds. So, keep your fingers crossed. It might not happen this year. It might not happen next year. But, never say never when it comes to this business.
I would love to see Colt back on TV, either as Scotty Goldman or maybe even let him, run his own, gimmick as Colt Cabana. That would be, But either way, seeing him back on TV, after seeing him in person at the show that we talked about the last time I was on a few weeks ago, it's really sad that he's not on TV because he's got such a personality that people, want to see him and would, pay big money to see him on TV or in pay-per-views.
And what would be a license to print money? If you put him back together with Punk and you have Punk as this serious, sinister, cult-like leader and you have Colt Cabana, Scotty Goldman, however you want to put it, as his, comedic sidekick, as, the funny guy, the straight man.
Yeah, bring him back as the Second City Saints.
Exactly. And then you're ace deal away from a actual Second City reunion.
Exactly. All I was going to say was that would also strengthen the tag team division because as we can probably agree on, WWE really has no true tag team division.
Right.
Not at all?
Yeah. Let's see. hopefully I have not run out of, no, I haven't run out of stuff. Let's see. Monday nights have the Nexus. Friday nights have the Core. Now, why two R's? Anybody got an answer for that for me? Because I kind of scratched my head when I saw that on the Sidetron when they came out tonight.
Maybe it was a typo. It's been known to happen before, but that's all I can think of, unless they're just trying to go with edgy.
Well,
as
Chris Jericho said, we weren't talking about Wade Barrett enough, so by adding an extra R to the name, we're talking about Wade Barrett a little more every time we mention the name of the group.
Talk about Wade Barrett. We are, champs. Talk more! I miss you, Jericho. I wish you were coming back. Unfortunately, Jericho did pop up in an interview saying that he was in no hurry to come back.
I think he's been doing his time off and working with Fozzy and touring and living the rock star life.
Well, I'm just surprised he wouldn't take in the free press he would get with his new book coming out next month. So, I don't know, guys. Is Jericho working us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think
so. What would be an honest surprise would be to see Jericho talking, saying he's not looking forward to returning. He doesn't want to rush. He doesn't want to come back. Makes an appearance at the Rumble.
That's what I'm thinking. Because now, granted, there was too much time space between my meeting with him in 2007 and the Save Us campaign. But when I talked to him then, he wasn't in any great hurry to come back. But
I love Chris Jericho. I mean, certainly he's earned the right to go do whatever he wants. He's accomplished everything there is. He's reinvented himself so many times in the wrestling industry. But, I mean, I know he has autonomy over his own personal decisions, but hasn't he done this once before? And wasn't it kind of like a big, giant failure? Not to say failure, but, I mean, it didn't really lead to anything, being on VH1 all the time and, you know, doing his thing with Fozzy. And he came back to WWE, and he was, you know, obviously WWE gives him the avenue to do all these different other things. So wouldn't you think he would be, trying to milk the WWE cash cow and marketing for him for all it's worth? I mean, he did get Downfall. I mean, outside of wrestling, that's been probably his most successful gig. He's got most notoriety from Downfall, and that came in his second run as a WWE. I mean, he really didn't do much in the interim between his first run and his second run. And while he was in his second run, he arguably got his biggest break outside the wrestling industry. So you think he would stay, maybe work a reduced, lighter schedule and still kind of pursue his upper echelon opportunities outside the ring? That's just one man's opinion, though.
No, but I can see that because judging from all the stuff that Jericho is into and interested in doing, I swear to God, the man does not sleep or eat. And I'm still trying to figure out how he keeps his wife and all three of his children. Yes, he's even had time for that. Just, you know, keeping all this so well balanced. That's what amazes me the most about this man. I've had the pleasure of meeting him twice. And like I said, I met him in 07, about 6 months before the Save Us campaign. And he did a pretty good job of, you know, just making it sound like absolutely positively maybe. Damn you, Jericho.
His Twitter feed is 100% rock and roll, too.
Yeah.
I need to get back
Chris,
on Twitter. I really do.
Chris, we love you. We're just selfish, and we want to see you in the ring because you're the best in the world at what you do.
And what you do sometimes isn't very nice. Oh, wait. Now I'm really in copyright infringement, ain't I? Comic King. Okay. So, with that done,
let's talk Hall of Fame. How about that, Nikki?
We can talk some Hall of Fame. Shawn Michaels has been the only one announced so far.
Do you think they've gone with the biggest name first and just kind of spoiled everything, or do you think they could possibly come up with something bigger than Shawn Michaels?
It depends on what's going on with this Main Event Mafia reunion, because if they get Sting or they get Macho Man, that's bigger than Shawn Michaels. Nothing against HBK. HBK has done some amazing stuff in his 20-plus year career. But Macho Man, having been on the outside looking in for so long, finally back in talks with the Fed, actually giving them permission to use his likeness in the new video game. In fact, he's done a video out there somewhere about it. The fact that they got a figure. That would be huge if they put it in the Hall of Fame this year. Sting would be even bigger, especially since he never worked for WWE, it's my understanding. Because if they are still thinking about doing a WCW-style Hall of Fame, I'll give you that they probably ruined that by having Shawn Michaels. Because outside of Sting, who else was really big in WCW that either hasn't been inducted or is also known for his WWE tenure?
I would say Goldberg, but you cut it off at the WWE tenure.
Did you say somebody who's known for their WWE tenure or not known?
Well, somebody who also had WWE tenure is what I'm saying, because Goldberg's a weird case anyway, but go ahead.
Here's one name, not a star, but somebody as a supporting member who has a WWE tenure, but not as a wrestler, as an announcer for one episode, I think, of one match for Monday Night Raw, maybe one episode of Heat, and he's been appeared on camera a little bit in the past few months or so, and he's an agent and a trainer, and that's Arn Anderson.
Actually, I think he wrestled with them in the late 1980s between...
Oh, of course he did, yeah, he was with... You're right, he was with Tully, and they were the Brainbusters, correct.
So, that would be a great induction. I think, you know, getting his mug on camera a couple of times is probably kind of a precursor. If Booker T's not coming back, sorry?
Is J.J. Dillon in the Hall of Fame? Because I was thinking maybe they could put all of them in at the same time. I don't know if Tully's on good terms with Vince or not, but you already have Flair in, put Tully and Arn and J.J. Dillon in as a group.
That would work. My thought for the, if they couldn't get them, they could do a tag team. If Booker T is not coming back to TNA, and I know he's tried to get back into WWE, I think Harlem Heat deserves a spot. They were, you know, they were a huge tag team with WCW. Let's see. Somebody, I get a suggestion typo in the chat. Somebody suggests Vader. Long as Vader doesn't have to work in the ring, I'm all for it.
I would think Vader would be a great choice. I mean, he was an absolute standout in Japan. His early matches with Flair and Sting and WCW were outstanding. His WWE tenure was forgettable, but for a big man, he could move. He put on interesting matches. He was a relatively good promo. But a lot of newer fans are going to remember him, of course, for, I don't know if it was during the pay-per-view or the lead-up to the pay-per-view, when he was one of the people that you could, was with Jonathan Coachman, and he tripped over his own 2 feet and fell flat on his face before Taboo Tuesday, or at Taboo Tuesday.
Yeah. I remember that's what I'm worried about. That's what a lot of people are going to remember. Of course, I'm probably going to get laughed off the show for this, but would Lex Luger be in any consideration?
I thought he was on somewhat good terms as of late.
I know he's not in the greatest of health, but because I know the Fed tried so hard with him, but I was just, you know, I didn't know if his sudden jump.
One thing you've got to take into considerations with regards to the WWE and their Hall of Fame is that a lot of times it's about politics and it's about media attention, and they're still, you know, fighting off that steroids and, you know, concussions and, you know, head trauma vibe. I know... You know, it wasn't any kind of trauma to Lex Luger that caused his condition, but he was arrested for for possessing a large amount of steroids. And then there was the whole deal with Miss Elizabeth. A lot of people to this day blame him for her death. And I don't know how well that would go over in the public eye. So, I mean, I think Lex Luger is deserving. I mean, his work rate wasn't the greatest, but, I mean, he's a notable guy. He's a guy that you think of when you think of, you know, early 90s, mid-90s, late 90s, Monday Night Wars, and, you know, I think he's notable enough that he would deserve a spot.
Hmm.
I just don't know if they're going to go for it.
Well, Tyco threw in that Luger did an interview with WWE.com recently, so that's a very big maybe. So Luger
that's
in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, if I may quote Luger, I don't know!
Here's a suggestion that I want to make. And he's high up in the office. He's one of, you know, Vince's henchmen, Johnny Ace. And his brother, you know, was a member of probably one of the NWA's greatest tag teams. I don't know. They're not in, are they? The Road Warriors, Legion of Doom?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I would think you could have Hawk. You know, Hawk is a posthumous member, but they said they're kind of, you know, hesitant to do the too many inductees that have passed on, but you have at least one half of the tag team there. So, I mean, you're still inducting somebody eventually, you know.
Right. Now, what's the animal status with the Fed? Because I haven't heard it. I don't hear much about him short of when his son's playing Ohio State football game. So.
Well, and that's the thing, too. A lot of times it's not only, you know, how marquee of a name you are, but it's who you can get to induct them. And if they, I mean, I'm sure they could get James Laurinaitis, who's a huge wrestling fan, who sat, I've seen him in Columbus a number of times, sit in front row every time, you know, WWE came to town as the inductor for his dad and for Hawk, Mike Hegstrand, who he was really close with as well. So I would see maybe him as a celebrity inductor.
Yeah, that could happen, but. Actually, I'm going to go. I think you were the one, Andy, who sent me this question in Facebook mail with Shawn Michaels going in. I personally think this is a lock, but who inducts Shawn Michaels? My vote's for Hunter, but I don't know about anybody else.
It should seem hands down obvious that it should be Hunter, but I personally don't know who else could induct Shawn Michaels. I mean, I don't know who else, you know, was close enough to him. My other thought would be maybe Marty Jannetty.
That's like he's allowed to travel.
Yeah, and that's my other thought. That's all I can come up with.
Well, when Ricky,
go ahead.
I was going to ask, is Jose Lothario still with us, or?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure he's still alive. I just don't know what his situation is with the Fed. The only
here's,
name
here's
I can
the name.
Throw up,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say Brett.
And Sean stated that in interviews that he would like to have Brett induct him, but that was before. He said kind of to bring closure to the situation, but they already did that last January. Here's a name that I was thinking of. I remember Ricky Steamboat. Wasn't he inducted by Ric Flair?
I think so.
And he said, I wanted my greatest rival to induct me. So I was thinking for Shawn Michaels, maybe he could be inducted by his greatest rival, Stan.
Oh, yeah, someone just said in the chat, Vince, apparently Vince did recently say he was the best superstar of WWE, so there's another possibility, but I don't see Vince inducting Shawn into the Hall of Fame. Like, I don't see Vince doing it. That's just a personal, I don't see it happening. It could happen, it would blow my mind, but I don't see it happening.
Well,
does anybody know?
Go ahead.
Does anybody know? Did Vince induct Stone Cold? Because it seemed like he would have been a logical choice for Stone Cold. I can't remember, but I mean, I think Vince has really kind of taken a reduced role during these WWE Hall of Fames. He's backstage in the gorilla position. He's not out sitting with Linda and Steph and, you know, Triple H. You kind of never see him during that event. So, I mean, I don't know if he's willing to get involved until he himself is inducted.
I think he inducted Austin.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he did.
I can't remember for the life of me.
It's probably too late for this joke, but since it stands on the list, how about the little, I want the little girl from the cafeteria. Isn't that his daughter? If that was his daughter, I would love to get her a stool and have her go up to the microphone and badmouth him for 5 minutes and have him stomp out. Because her music or playing backstage.
Oh, man.
We can't do that, can we? That would tarnish Shawn Michaels. Okay, that's fun. I personally would like it to be Hunter. Just for my fingers crossed, just to hear a couple of goofy backstage stories with these two. I mean, you know, they joked about this. This was actually, you know, they said this during Shawn and Hunter's shoot all the way back in 2002 that these guys were closer than brothers. And we saw that all the way up to Shawn's retirement, just how close these two guys are. I can joke about the fact that their feud from summer 2002 all the way into 2004, which it pretty much was, you know, on and off, those two were after each other, and how much damage they would do to each other. It's a silly thing in wrestling. The closer the friendship of two guys, the more grievous bodily harm they're kind of willing to do to each other.
Billy and Chuck excluded.
No, I'm even going to go there. Oh. No, I don't want to go there. I really don't.
If you're thinking about a clip, a soundbite, don't hesitate.
Yeah, there is a soundbite that goes with
baby
that.
Oil.
Oh!
I'm glad it wasn't the soundbite I was thinking of.
What were you thinking?
Let's pass.
Hey, is my gong out here?
So.
Oh, man.
Okay.
To quote Glenn Quagmire, that too is sexual.
I don't watch that show. Okay. Let's see.
Are you done trying to convince yourself there, Nikki?
I don't watch Family Guy. I really don't. Unfortunately, I know because I know too many people who do.
Yep.
Including my dear friend Bari, who at one time his text sound on his phone was giggity, giggity, giggity. Oh, yeah.
I need that.
Damn you, Bari. This is rare for our show. We're actually going to get to look ahead a little bit in the next week, and I'm going to take a moment to brag. I will be attending Raw in Detroit, and I will be attending SmackDown NXT tapings in Cincinnati. Hey, I got lucky on both sets of tickets. But for Monday Night Raw, they've already announced one of the main events, which is going to be Champion versus Champion. Which they played with a little bit on SmackDown tonight. Edge will be facing Miz. And, you know, I realize that it's not something they would normally do on a pay-per-view, so do they give this away, or are we going to have a Nexus or Core invasion to go along with this match, Andy?
I don't know. You could possibly see a double invasion and then a standoff or a showdown. That would be pretty interesting to see a Nexus and Core coming in, and you get the stare down standoff from from the two respective groups. Maybe CM Punk getting in a Wade Barrett's face, and that could, you know, you could maybe build that up for, you know, a WrestleMania or another pay-per-view kind of showdown, you know, a face-off between the two. But since they're both heel factions, you wouldn't probably see it because, I mean, it wouldn't make sense to go heel versus heel. But, it, you know, it's an idea. It's a thought.
The other option, DJ, would be having Ziggler and Orton schmoz up the match, which is probably the more likely scenario. What do you think?
Well, I don't know how they're going to play this all out, but one thing that I wanted to make a comment on is that you have champion versus champion, and it's supposed to be a big deal. It should be a big deal. Remember when Triple H, and as the World Heavyweight Champion, and JBL faced off backstage in a pay-per-view, and it was like, wow, they're both in the same shot. This feels special. It kind of doesn't have that feel nowadays, you know, the Edge versus the Miz, and that's more of an indictment of the current state of the WWE, so that's my two cents.
That's cool. Fourth, if you were the one with the schmoz button, would you send Orton Ziggler out there, or would you send Nexus and Core?
At the moment, I would probably put Orton and Ziggler, if only because it would make a little more sense for those two. You know, like you said, save Nexus and Core's eventual confrontation for a later date.
Okay. Let's see. We're coming fast and furious up on the end of the show. Andy, you said you had something you wanted to read to us.
Actually, I won't read it, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a link to it in the chat right now. It's a link to the wrestling website that I kind of help work for. I work for their chat room, kind of moderate it. It's wrestlingnewssource.com. This is a column. The title is An Open Letter to Triple H. It's posted by the lead columnist, Justin Henry, but it's a funny kind of look at how Trips is kind of running the backstage of the business and where the writer kind of thinks that he's going to go with it, hoping that, you know, he doesn't just push, you know, hoping that Triple H doesn't just push himself into the main event picture, but helping, like, the lower guys, the lesser-known talents, helping push them forward. He makes reference to how Vince kind of has is out of touch with, like, a cultural standpoint. Paul Burchill, you know, mentioning Paul Burchill's pirate gimmick in 06 because Vince didn't know who Johnny Depp was.
Right.
Makes reference to the Raw where he was embarrassing the Denver Nuggets owner and who I don't even, you know, most people don't even remember the guy's name. But it's a very entertaining, very thoughtful read. The whole website, WrestlingNewsSource.com, it's a great source for spoilers, for news, for, you know, chatting during the different shows. The chat room is open every show, Monday, Thursday, Friday, and pay-per-view days. Also Tuesdays occasionally on NXT, but not very many of the not very many people, you know, kind of work the chat room at that point. But it's a very interesting site to go to look at, and it definitely should be, you know, taken a look at by some of the bigger wrestling fans.
I think we can do that. DJ, did you have anything to plug?
I don't have anything to plug, but I do have a quick antidote about Vince being out of touch. After Bob Barker hosted Raw, Vince wanted to go with more of a game show host, and he actually said, what about Ray Combs, that guy that hosted Family Feud? And then he was informed that he had died, he'd committed suicide a decade earlier or more. So that's Vince McMahon.
At least you didn't ask for Richard Dawson. I know there was a rumor about Pat Sajak, too, but actually, I thought the big out-of-touch thing with him was getting Rickrolled on Million Dollar Mania, not knowing what the hell was going on. He'd never heard a ringback tone before. Andy, you've done your plug for us. Do you have anything to plug real quick?
Just the Twitter account of WWE_creative, because it is somewhat mean-spirited, but almost zen in its humor.
I've heard about them, and I'm going to take a look at that myself. But for all our listeners, please be aware that next week we are starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to have a great big build-up to to the Royal Rumble, talk about that 40-man over the top rope match along with the title matches and anything else they want to schedule. But this has been the North American Wrestling Connection. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night.
How about that, guys?
All right. I felt,
yeah,
personally,
but,
I felt a lot more comfortable than I did a few weeks ago.
Well, you just got to get that first one under you, because I was nervous when I took the show over back in May or June of last year. But, you know, we're glad to have you aboard, Andy. You're gonna get to see a lot of airtime down the road. I'll make sure
all
of
right.
that. DJ, you know, if you're available, you know, you're always welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's always fun.
And now I just got to figure out who all I'm going to have in for the 2-hour show next week. But you guys are welcome to jump in. I'm sorry?
I personally have to get going. I've got a late night band practice that I have to get going out to. That's a little bit a ways away, but I have to get going, get out to band practice, at least get a couple hours in before our show next week, or 2 weeks from today. So
okay, you get going. Be careful out there, man.
Yeah, we'll do. The roads are kind of horrible. So you know, I'm gonna try to take my time, but yeah, I definitely will be careful.
Alrighty, take it slow, man. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks again, Nikki.
Sure thing.
All right, see you guys.
See you later. Take it easy.